This is Tim O'Brien with O'Reilly Media.
ChangeCongress.org is a website founded by Lawrence Lessig, which bills itself as a national movement to end corruption in America's Congress. It aims to accomplish these reforms by leveraging the collective intelligence of users. Users are allowed to tag members of Congress as supporting or rejecting various causes, such as publicly financed campaigns, earmark reform, and congressional transparency. I began the interview by asking Lessig to comment on how users have adopted and reacted to the site so far.
So we're just beginning to build the tools that are going to bring people in to do the work that we think is necessary here. And those are, first thing we laid out was a way to take your own pledge as a citizen or as a member of Congress or as a candidate for Congress. And the second stage will be tools to enable people to tag people, you know, to say that this representative supports public funding or this representative doesn't support public funding. And so we've just begun to pull people in to use those tools. And, you know, like any of these sites, there's a slow uptake initially, and we're finding ways to feed the attention so that we can get some real activity around it.
Speaking of the slow uptake, are you relying on an organic strategy for marketing? Are you actually spending any money on trying to get this in front of people who might not normally see it?
We're not spending money on the marketing of it. It is certainly organic in that sense. Although we're spending money to figure out how best to architect it so that you actually get tools that people want to play with and want to use. There's a game to play of not going too quickly because you want to make sure you've got the structure that you really want. And if you go slowly, then you can be changing things without worrying about undoing lots of work that's already been done. So that's been our strategy so far.
Now, it's an entirely nonpartisan effort. Is that true?
Right. I mean, the mix of issues we're talking about will bring in people from all perspectives. And that's fundamental to what we're talking about, because my view is unless you have bipartisan support for this type of change, it will never happen.
Is there any worry that your tool might be co-opted by the actual campaigns themselves?
It's a worry. It's a concern. And, you know, what we're doing is staying as far away from that as we can, but we can't control how the tool ultimately gets used. And if it becomes a point of competition in a campaign, then that's actually better for the issue. So in one of our first candidates who won a primary, it was in the main district where there were two candidates who had taken Change Congress pledges, and that became a focus of some of the debate inside the district. And that might be useful across the country to get people to pay attention to this issue.
Have you had any feedbacks from the candidates or from the members of Congress themselves about the effort?
The candidates are very eager because this is a way to get attention to what they're doing, their challenges, and especially when we roll out the funding component of this. It'll be very interesting to them to raise money. Members in Congress are typically more conservative about this because, especially in the public funding issue, there's an anxiety that will increase the power of challengers to defeat incumbents, and so therefore that I think that explains the biggest reason for the slowdown on this.
Okay, in terms of the oversight, do you find yourselves having to police the tags, or are the tags completely free? I mean, can I go in and put a tag, you know, crook for someone who's in bed with the oil executives?
Well, so the tags are reviewed. So there's an administrator for different regions, and then authorized after they've been made. So it's not completely open to make any change you want. And the tagging that we're looking for is tagging around the four issues that we've identified right now. So there's a process to include, to verify that we've got some real veracity in what's being produced.
At this point in the interview, I shifted gears and asked Lessig to comment on internetforeveryone.org. Earlier that day, Lessig had participated in a press conference kicking off the initiative, which is a national coalition of civic and nonprofit groups dedicated to openness and choice for broadband consumers. I started with a somewhat skeptical question about the importance of the issue. I wanted to give Lessig a chance to frame the issue as an issue that affects all other problems facing the society.
There are lots of places in the country where access to internet might not be the primary concern. Access, you know, in a very high crime portion of the inner city. Could you give us a sense of what your reaction is to a statement like that?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true that internet access can't be thought of as the most important problem in the world. But it's an infrastructure point. So if you could build this infrastructure and commit to building the infrastructure, it helps solve a whole bunch of other problems that are pretty critical. So take your high crime example. If there were much better infrastructure for internet, and even in high crime areas, it would facilitate better police response, it would facilitate better monitoring ex ante so that you avoid the kind of crime, and so it would contribute to actually increasing the value of the area. Now, I think this is similar to the point about change Congress. You know, I made the analogy in my speech to an alcoholic who might be losing his job, losing his wife, losing his liver. Those are really critical problems, but we know until he solves the alcoholism, he's not going to solve any of those problems at all. And the same thing with, you know, in the Change Congress move, until we solve the problem of the corruption of the way Congress functions, we're not going to solve these other more important problems. So I think you have to be able to recognize some issues are fundamental to solving other problems, and I think that's the objective of the Internet. Internet is infrastructure, supports lots of other social and economic innovation and creativity, and we've got to find ways to build upon it much more successfully than we have.
In terms of what's at stake in this next election cycle, what's at stake in terms of the rulings of the Supreme Court over the next 4, 8, 10 years, the legislation that might be coming down the road, what's at stake for the Internet in this next election?
I think it's a fundamental decision that will be made in this election about the philosophy that will guide the next generation of the Internet. John McCain has signaled very clearly that he's going to continue the philosophy, what I refer to as a kind of Neanderthal philosophy, that the government has no essential role in this essential infrastructure. And that means basically privatizing the infrastructure to the interest of predictably increasingly small number of infrastructure providers. And the Obama platform is fundamentally committed not to displacing private interests, but to complementing private interests with the other interests which are also essential to the Internet's future. So social interest and public interest and cultural interests that complement the commercial interest. And so I think that an Obama administration will appoint people and drive for regulation that guarantees this wider range of objectives is achieved by this infrastructure. So just like we didn't build the national highway system simply to serve GM's cars or to serve Ford cars, but to build it to support a wide range of uses, some commercial, some non-commercial, and the same thing with the electricity grid, and the same thing with every single infrastructure project we've built, that's the way I think we'll think about the Internet, that it serves many different objectives, some private, some not, and the government needs to make sure it can serve all of them well.